Yeah, boy, it's episode 161, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer podcast. I'm your host again this week, Slim. Bex is just getting back from Japan as we speak. So there may or may not be theme music from the pod that you just are listening to right now. We'll see what he gets going here, if he decides to rest and relax and wash his dirty underwear from his trip, or get on the computer and do some editing that we know he missed when he was gone. This is the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. But of course, our analysts, always here. Blister, here you got a big fishing trip planned tomorrow.
Yeah, big weekend ahead. Yeah, we had to scout it out tonight and dodge some lightning bolts. But tomorrow's a golf tournament, the Budweiser golf tournament. And Sunday is a fishing trip. And then, Slim, the days off are winding up quickly here. Sad to say.
I know. My wife was just saying, we only got about 3 weeks left here of vacation, which most people listening are probably like, boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo, yeah.
But,
yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
That's summer
back to reality.
I know. Right?
Back to reality too soon. Sad.
Yeah. Speaking of reality, this is the show, and this is the one where I think a lot of people have been kind of waiting for. Tonight we're going to get into some distinct budgets. We're going to actually talk about the numbers and the players, give you positional values for, your entire roster or most of your roster, depending on some league settings and things like that. So I recommend, grab a pen, grab a pencil, something like that. You might want to jot a few notes down, because we're going to hopefully try and give you a budget that's right for you, and maybe give you something that you might be thinking will work well for you in your draft. So I know Blister's ready. We were talking a little bit off air. He's getting his notes ready as we speak. Before we start, I wanted to kind of take a moment, and I kind of told Blister I was going to do this. I want to give a disclaimer, because we get a lot of questions that stem from, what do you like these guys, blah, 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 to the very blunt, what is a successful budget? Give me one that I can use in my draft. To me, there isn't one budget that's going to work in every scenario or in every draft, and that's kind of the beauty of the auction draft. Everyone is different. So you can have one budget that has worked in every mock, or Blister, myself, we've told it, that looks really good, we like that one. But when you go into your draft and certain players that maybe you're targeting don't go for the values you want, that budget might just be nothing more than ass wipe, right? So you have to be able to roll with the punches, adapt to what's happening. It's like taking blueprints for a house. It's an analogy I use. It might be a very sound house, beautiful house, but if the carpenter is shit that's building it, or the foundation that it's on, isn't good, there's a million things that can happen that can take that plan that is essentially perfect and make it useless or make it flawed. And to me, that's kind of what an auction budget is. You can go in there with something awesome and a couple little things happen and it can be essentially garbage, and you have to be able to adapt on the fly to change it up. So we'll do the best we can to give you something that you can use as a guide, but just be aware that it's not set in stone. It can't be, right, Blister?
Exactly. Yeah, I was doing a mock just the other night, and I went in thinking I'm going to spend $70 on David Johnson. And typically, I'm not a guy that goes out and throws huge money at one big stud like that. But I wanted to look what the team would look like. And the next thing you know, he goes for $89. Well, there's no budget in my drafting that I'm going to pay, $90, almost 50% of my overall budget on one player. So, I had to bow out. But that's some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight is, at what point do you bow out? And if you do, where do you go next? And, maybe you relocate to a different position, or maybe you next man up in the same position. But we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Right on. So let's start then with something pretty, I won't say basic, because for some people this is an overwhelming part of the auction draft. It's creating this budget. How do I figure out? I got all this money. How do I figure out, got all these slots to fill. How do I figure out exactly how much to put at each position? So, Blister, just go through, how do you start creating your budget?
Well, for me, I usually go, I get a feel for who I like and you know, the guys I think that I could win with, and then kind of what they're going to cost. Obviously, I can't afford the number one and two studs at every position, so I have to kind of come up with a plan. Am I going to go harder at running back, or am I going to go at receiver, or what's the case going to be? And I should, before you even decide that, you need to really look at your league scoring. If you can find a site that you can punch in your scoring, and it'll spit out their projections, you know, and it'll give you an idea of what, you know, the best guy is actually worth. So I start with that, and then I'll take my budget and I'll kind of work backwards. If you're still drafting a kicker and a defense, I'll budget a dollar for each. And if you're, you know, say you have 7 bench spots, which is a pretty common number, or 6, 8, whatever, I usually budget, you know, $2 per bench spot. Realizing, let's say we have 7, realizing probably my last 3 or 4 are only going to be a dollar. So if I had 7, $14, I take off 4, I got 10. So, you know, I'm going to be able to still get a few players at the top end of my budget bench for $3 each, maybe $4. So they're not going to be that bad a player, actually. So I work from there back then. Okay, so now I've spent 7 bench spots, 14. I got 2 up on my kicker and defense, you know, and then I'll start working. Okay, at quarterback, I'm probably going to go cheap. I'm not going to spend more than, you know, $8. And at maybe it'll be a dollar if I'm fortunate. And at tight end, I'm probably going to do something very similar. So then that gives me my chunk of my money left that I can allot to my running back and my receiver. And if I think I'd rather spend more on a running back, then I'm going to, you know, maybe I'm going to budget $90 to $100 on running backs. But then I break it down further. My running back 1 is going to be this much. My running back 2 is going to be this much. And then my running back 3, 4, 5, 6 are going to be probably my cheap players.
Yeah.
So once I know all that, I kind of write that down. And when I go into my draft, every time I spend money, whether it's more or less, I either add on to another area or take away from another area. So maybe I take away, maybe I wanted to spend $5 on my running back 1 and I spent 58. So maybe I'll take $3 out of my quarterback money or my receiver money or something like that. And I'm always updating my totals and what I can spend. And after mocking quite a bit, I have a feel for what kind of range, and we have it on our site. The average auction values is listed in our rankings, and they're pretty accurate. You know, then I'll have an idea of who I can target in that range. You know, if I know I've got $40 to spend on a running back, well, I know roughly who goes in that ballpark. So I kind of have an idea, and if I like, ooh, I don't like any of those running backs all of a sudden at the $40 range, I'll say, you know, I'm dropping down to this $25 running back, and I'm going to take that $15, and I'm going to apply it to, there's a lot of good receivers I like, I'm going to put it into my receiver. So it's a constant, that's one of the cool things about an auction. I go in with a number I want at each position, and I'm always kind of tweaking and reallocating money or taking it away. And again, you've got to have players that you do like, and you're, you know, basing what you're willing to spend on a certain player as well. Because there's nothing worse than spending too much money on a player you didn't really like, and then, you know, he craps a bed just like you kind of thought he would. And so you kind of, when I go into a draft, I take my tiers, and right off the hop, I put in green maybe. I'm not very good at this because of green and red, I'm colorblind, but I'll put in one color that I like, and I'll kind of, those are guys that I like for whatever reason. I'm not going to memorize every stat they've had or whatever, but I know I like them from things that I've researched over the whole summer. And I'll put some, you know, red on guys that I want to stay away from, again, for whatever reason. And then I'm always kind of tweaking as we go.
Yeah, that's right. So I think kind of to go back, one is come up with a budget that you like, right? First thing you need to do. And like Lister said, the easiest way is figure out what you want to spend. Hopefully you don't have kicker defense in your league, but if you do, then that's a buck a piece. Quarterback, figure out how much you want to spend a quarterback. What are you comfortable spending? I say the cheaper, the better. Find some cheap guys that you like and start there. $5 or less. Boom, done. Then go to tight end. How much are you comfortable spending? Again, if you can go cheaper, that's probably recommended. And then, like Lister says, now you got the meat and potatoes to go running backs. And like, I agree. I think you need to go running back 1, running back 2. What do you want? Maybe you got $35 for running back 2, but you hate all those guys, just like you said, Lister. Well, now you tweak, and now you start making the changes, right? And once you think you have something good, then that's when I start taking that and saying, okay, well, now what if I did spend big money on a quarterback? How does that change? So now I got to bump my $5 to $35 maybe for Aaron Rodgers. Where am I getting that money from? What is another decent budget that has that scenario that I like? And that's how you start creating those plan Bs and plan Cs. Maybe I do the same thing with tight end. Gronk was going cheap, so I bought him for $30. Well, okay, where's that money coming from? And that to me is what helps you in the draft, is having those other plans, because you're probably going to deviate from your big plan at some point. And knowing how you can seamlessly adjust, the better you can do that, the more easy time you'll have, you know, not missing a beat and staying in the moment of the drafts, instead of having to get your phone out and recalculate stuff and scribble, and you become that guy that you're trying to make everybody else become. So yeah, those are all good points. I think, like Lister said, you got to break it down, and then that comes with your tiers, right? You hit it right on the head. Look at every tier and know there's who you like in there and who you don't. And who you don't can often be guys you nominate, and who you like is the guys you might want to wait on, and you're just crossing your fingers, slide, and hopefully you can get them for cheap. But that's kind of the way I think most people would want to start, right?
I think so, yeah. I think that's a good way to start. I mean, you need to go in with a plan. Like, you just can't walk in, I got $200 to spend, I need a bunch of guys, what am I going to do? Like, because if you don't, then you're going to get railroaded, and team's not going to be anything near to what you want. And, you know, even when you, like, I think we'll say it 50 times on the show tonight, but even when you go in with a plan, things change quickly, and you have to refocus your money or rezone it, you know. Like, you know, I was looking, I was talking with a gentleman today through Twitter, and we were talking about his draft coming up, and he was kind of looking for an idea of how to spend money. And I found a site that it doesn't exactly input his all of his scoring, because there's a lot of bonuses for, you know, long plays or over 100 yards and stuff like that. But it is giving me a rough idea, you know, and looking at it, like, what a lot of people don't realize, and a lot of people that are listening probably heard of the late round quarterback strategy, where you don't draft any quarterbacks. And the reason for that being is there's not a lot of variance from quarterback 1 to quarterback 12 in any given week. So, for example, in this guy's scoring, quarterback 1 is Aaron Rodgers, and he's projected for 491 points. Quarterback 12 is David Carr at 422 points. So that's 70 points over 17 weeks. This is based on a 17-week season, right? So that's not a lot. When you look at running back, however, David Johnson's projected at number 1 at 345. Lamar Miller, number 12, at 172. Right. So you're looking at a 170-point difference versus a 70-point difference. So in a situation like that, you know, that's why you don't need to spend as much on your quarterback 1 versus perhaps your running back 1. Even at wide receiver, the gap is only 50 points. And at tight end, the gap is 60 points. So they're all quite similar. So in my mind, you want to go after these top running backs perhaps, because it really separates you from the rest of the field. So going in, if that's what you look at, before you even set up your budget. So if I was this guy, perhaps I would say, okay, you know what? I have to go after David Johnson or Lev Bell, you know, and that's what I'm going to allot my big bucks for.
Yeah, I agree. I think too many people get caught up on this is how many points the top guy scored, but they don't look at what the range of other guys at that position is. Like you said, with quarterbacks, I mean, after you get to about quarterback 4, there is barely any difference between him and quarterback 13, 14, really. Like, so
barely. Yeah, it's like in this one, 30 points, which is what? Points a week? Not even 2 points a week.
I was going to say, if you look at it on a weekly, so say divide that by 16, that'll tell you how many fantasy points per game. Yeah, Rodgers does score more fantasy points per game than any other quarterback, or did last year. Now, is those 5 extra points that he's probably could get you over the guy you're going to take? You know, say I take Andy Dalton late. Are they significant? Sure. But the thought is that $20 or more, probably $30 I saved on quarterback, I can go, like Blister said, what about if I go get David Johnson just per se? Well, how many more extra points is he going to get me versus, you know, your RB1? Or your RB2 even, because my RB2 is probably as good as your RB1 maybe. I don't like, so it's, it's to me a silly position to spend big money on, which leads me to the next question I was going to ask you. Are there any spots where you simply won't spend big money? So I think we've established quarterback. Anything else?
I've never spent big on a quarterback. Ever. And never spent big on tight end. And when I look back over the leagues that we've been playing in together, you know, I think you've had Gronk a few times. I've had Gronk maybe once. I think I got him once. But for the most part, I think back to when Beckett won and he was piecing his tight end. Like, he was getting nothing. He barely got points out of his tight end all year long. Like, he didn't have much luck on the waiver wire because the guys he picked up all of a sudden were hurt, and we only could pick up once. And, you know, and I've won leagues, too, with piecing together tight ends. So I really – that's the first position I will – you know, I don't hesitate. I don't even consider getting Gronk because I know people that love him are going to spend $35 on him, and I won't. So – for sure, tight end, and then quarterback will be the second one after that.
Yeah. See, another one for me is I typically don't spend a lot on, like, we play in a lot of our leagues are three wide receivers, start three. I typically don't spend a lot on that third wide receiver. Usually because, and like, we know how deep wide receiver is right now, the last few years with this passing league that we're in. I can usually look at the rankings and I find at least five or six guys for $10 or less that I think, you know what, that guy's undervalued by most people. I would gladly have him as my wide receiver three. So while other guys are spending $20 to get guys that I might not even like as much as those cheap guys, I am very comfortable spending less at a position like that. And maybe getting two or three guys, and I'll stream those three guys if I have to based on matchups or who's hot or somebody breaks out or emerges more than we thought or whatever. So, I agree, though. Quarterback, I never, ever spend big. I've seen guys spend big and do well, so it's not that that's impossible. That's not what we're advocating. To me, and I think to Blister, it's not a smart way to allocate resources in most auction formats. Tight end, I always have a budget for cheap tight end, and I usually always have a budget for an expensive tight end because, like any position, I can't handle when there's a value. So if Gronk is going for $5 less than I think he should be, I just can't stop myself from bidding. Part of it is I want a price enforced, and part of it is I'm like, oh, that seems like a decent price if he just plays all 16 games. I'm laughing, but which never happens when I've drafted him either, by the way. But I agree with you. Typically, and I think even more so this year, it just seems like there are so many tight end positions kind of jumbled up a lot, kind of a lot like quarterbacks, that I don't think you have to spend big to get, you know, solid production. I could probably get two guys for $1 apiece that would be okay. I'm not going to say they're going to outscore Travis Kelce or anything, but I think that, again, I'm allocating resources fairly smartly if I decide to do that, and that's going to allow me to strengthen someone else. So I was going to ask if there's any type of budget that you really like this year, Blister. Like, we've kind of talked about this on previous pods. I know you sound like you're a little on the fence maybe. Like, do I just say fuck it and go for David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, or what do I do there? And that's a big difference, right? That can be a huge budget swing if you get one of those guys versus if you decide not to. Is there anything you're seeing right now that you're kind of thinking, man, I like the looks of that if I do this, and maybe I'm thinking about doing this in my live drafts?
Well, right now, I think a couple of things come into play. Like, I always think about the guys that we know well in our league. Like, I have a couple of different leagues, but I know there's one guy that wants the stud at each position if he could get it. So he's going to just spend it all, and he'll be after four players in the draft. We might not see him for 3 hours because he's only got $9 left or whatever the case, you know, 12, 15. Yeah. Anyways, like, I think about that. And on the flip side, I'd love to have David Johnson, but I also think, like, he's by far the best, I think, running back, and he's got the least amount of questions hanging over his head. But running back's also one of those positions I find a little bit easier to to replace. You know, like I said before, if your running back one goes down for a team, like Lev Bell is a good example, then D'Angelo Williams steps up, who people were buying for a dollar, and he puts up very similar, I mean, phenomenal production. I think that any guy running behind the Dallas O-line, who is not the same as it was, but, I mean, if it's McFadden, he could put up good numbers while he's playing and stuff like that. Whereas if your wide receiver one goes down, you know, the two that's already been drafted moves up to one, the three that could have been drafted moves up to two, and the guy that comes in, he doesn't put up wide receiver one numbers. He becomes your, you know, he's a wide receiver three on that team now. You know what I mean? Whereas running back one goes into the one, you know, the backup becomes a starter. He gets the touches automatically. But so I always find that if I'm going to play, spend a little bit more money, I often do go on the receiver side. I just find that, you know, if my running back, if my starting running back is, you know, DeMarco Murray, well, I could easily buy also Henry if I wanted later in the draft, for probably a couple dollars. Or if I don't even have their backup, you know, sometimes they're still on the waiver wire, depending on how deep your bench is. So versus, like I say, your one number one receiver goes down, he's not there to replace. You don't just pick up a number one off the waiver wire. So, yeah, I you know, but based on that, yeah, I'll go into a draft, you know, with a plan to have David Johnson. And, you know, and I'll obviously have a backup plan too. As soon as that money, because I probably would be willing to spend it on David Johnson and then Lev Bell, but probably not on Zeke. So then all of a sudden, once I drop out of that range, now I'm dropping down probably considerably more, and I'm really focusing on the receiver. So is that, in all reality, that's probably what will happen, because I probably won't get into a bidding war with somebody for DJ.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say. I've messed around with that. Last year, I'll admit, I went RB0 in pretty much every draft, some form of RB0. And different variations of success. Some leagues did all right, others not so great. But I'll be honest, the leagues I didn't do great in, it had nothing to do so much with the running back production. It was more because I had players like Allen Robinson and kind of pick other guys that let me down, Keenan Allen, and you know, for different reasons. Obviously, A-Rod was mainly lack of production, and Keenan Allen was injuries. But you know, those things you can't help. I mean, I still think that my roster, I liked what I ended up with. But again, it's a game of luck. And, you know, like I said, Isaiah Crowell, for a couple bucks that I got in a few drafts, he didn't hurt me. It was the production from, you know, or buying Gronk, decided to do that. And, you know, that killed me. So, with that being said, I think we'll take a minute here and go through a couple budgets. To me, the two big ones are, do you spend big at running back or not? And I think you and I agree. We kind of talked about that in our last pod with, even with Kevin O'Brien when he had him on as a guest. Like, to me, this is kind of the pivotal position of, because most of us are in agreement. It's cheap at quarterback and relatively cheap at tight end. So then you go cheap at running back or cheap at wide receiver. What do you do? So now this is where you pick it. So I spent some time writing an article. I think it'll be up on the website probably by the weekend, breaking down certain budgets. So if we start, say, at kind of the RB0, for example, or actually we'll start at the studs and duds kind of one, because Blister mentioned a guy in our league, and I always think of him too. He wants to have the QB1, the wide receiver one, the RB1 on his team, and then a bunch of ass whatever after that. And sometimes he does okay, and sometimes he doesn't. It's not necessarily a strategy. I wouldn't go that drastic. But one of the budgets I created allowed, I planned, I wanted to make sure I either got David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, or Odell Beckham. I wanted two of those five guys, and then we'd figure out the rest from there. So in making that, you spend $65 at RB1, $60 at a wide receiver one. Now, the issue I have with a budget like this, and Blister kind of touched on it, I'll be honest, I haven't been in one draft yet that I've seen David Johnson go for what I think is fair market price. I mean, we have him as an AV of $66. I haven't seen him go for less than that, really, in a lot of the drafts I've been in. I shouldn't say that. He's gone for less than some, but in all, and again, knowing your draft, if you've got these hot-headed guys, and it's not even necessarily hot-headed, I think if I don't want to, if they, you just know they're casual kind of fantasy guys, they're going to want these top guys, and they're not necessarily scared to pay for them because, one, I don't think they know the repercussions of overpaying. I mean, Blister would probably speak to this. You can fuck yourself pretty fast if you decide you want to go and spend $75 on David Johnson, because now all of a sudden, where are you getting that extra money from? And your team can look like shit pretty quick. But so if you spend $65 and $60, I figure you got to spend $1 on a quarterback. And again, going by studs, if you want a top tight end, I budgeted $30. So that's going to get you hopefully Gronk, Kelsey, or Reed, one of those three. And to me, this is the position where if things go sideways, if you get in a bidding war, and that's the position you have to yank away from right away, mainly because you don't need Gronk or any of those other guys. So that leaves you pretty much $10 for an RB2, $15 for a wide receiver two, $9 or $10 on some type of flex, depending on what your bench size is, and then the rest, $10 or $9 on some type of bench. So that bench would be filled up with mostly $1 or $2 guys, depending on your depth. And, you know, as a flex for $9 or $10, you're probably rolling out somebody like Cam Meredith, D-Jax, Calvin Benjamin, something like that. Maybe a guy like LeGarrette Blount if it's not a PPR league or something. Wide receiver two, you're looking at guys like Crowder, Moncrief, Sanders, or Larry Fitzgerald, which aren't bad guys. Guys maybe that I would rather feel more comfortable with as a wide receiver three, but that's the position you got to put yourself in if you want to spend big on some of those other guys. And, you know, an RB2 at $10, you're looking at guys like Paul Perkins, Amir Abdullah, Adrian Peterson perhaps, or a guy like Theo Riddick. Maybe he's a PPR league. And you know what? I'd really like to have Theo Riddick as an RB2 if it's a PPR league for $10. So I feel good about that, actually. Lister, anything that you see that jumps out, you think, yeah, I don't like that. Maybe you do. Maybe you're jotting it down right now, too. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. But
no, I think that's pretty accurate. I think you're going to have a team that looks similar to that. And, you know, some people might be just fine with that. And, you know, and who knows if they all stay healthy. And, you know, a guy like Dante Moncrief, if he lives up to his potential, he's in a contract year, he could produce like a wide receiver one as well. So, I mean, there's going to be those prices. I think the big thing you have to remember that, no matter who's drafting in your league, there's going to be at least three running backs that are probably going to push 60. There's probably going to be, five or six receivers over 50, a couple quarterbacks over 30, and probably a couple tight ends over 30. So, you know, calculate that money, and that's going to get spent, and it's going to be gone. So after that, you know, like we were talking earlier, get guys out there that you have no interest in and keep getting money spent so that, you know, down the road, maybe people are broken. Maybe your wide receiver two could be a little bit better because they can't afford $20 and you can on somebody else, right? But no, that's a pretty accurate description of what a budget would look like. So,
and I would say to guys that know, I mean, let's be honest. Part of it is you got to be honest with yourself. What type of owner are you? I mean, to me, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I just do this for fun. There is nothing wrong with doing that. I venture to say that if you're listening to this podcast, you've taken the time to find us out, or you found us on Twitter, you're probably not that guy that just is like, oh, here's my $50. I don't give a shit what happens to my team. You're probably not that. You want to win. You might be wanting to make some money. But at the end of the day, you probably want to win if you're taking the time to find us. And we appreciate that you have. So if you're that kind of guy, this might be a strategy you think, you know what, I could make that work. If you're not, then I would say maybe steer away, because you're going to have a really thin bench with a lot of, you're going to have to be so active on waivers. You might not be the kind of guy that is willing to do that or typically does that. So this might not be the type of budget for you, but think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point there you made, Slim, about being active on waivers. You will have to be. And every year, there's some gems that will come off the waiver wire that people aren't talking about right now. And you have to be, like, even if you draft the great team, you're bound to get an injury or two, and you're going to have to replace somebody. So when you have a studs and duds lineup, you're probably more reliant on the waiver wire because you don't have that depth on your bench. So you really have to play that and be sharp. And, you know, when you draft a dollar quarterback, and stuff like that, you're probably playing matchups, right? So you know that, you know, you got Tyrod Taylor, Wentz, Palmer, Eli Manning, and they all can produce. They can be the best quarterback in any given week. with the right matchup. So you probably want to have at least two of them and not be afraid to drop one guy when, you know, you need to replace him with somebody with a better matchup. So that's that keeps you busy on the waiver wire.
Yeah, for sure. It's time commitment, right? And some of us don't put the time in. I mean, for whatever reasons, we can't, or, you know, that be that as it may. But like I said, be honest with yourself. If you know that's you, then maybe that's not for you. So the other one, I think kind of the complete opposite is if you kind of go somewhat RB0. And so here, obviously you want to go big at wide receiver. So again, you still got $60 for wide receiver one. You should be going out and trying to get an Antonio Brown, a Julio, Odell Beckham, one of those top three, four kind of guys. And then I kind of like to spend around $40 if I go in a strategy on my wide receiver two. One, because I feel like there's always a couple of good players that slip through the cracks a little bit that maybe go for around $50 that just for whatever reason don't. Maybe you're in a draft with some overzealous guys early. They've just spent a shit pile on some of the big name guys, and now somebody likes T.Y. Hilton, or, you know, would normally buy him, but he can't. He doesn't have the money anymore, so the price goes down. But I think with $40, you can still end up, you're still in play to get guys like Hilton. Maybe Mike Thomas, if you like him. Doug Baldwin should be easily gettable for $40 in most leagues. Amari Cooper, if you're a believer, he could probably easily be had for around $40. At quarterback, I think it gives you a little bit more. I still think you spend less. I put $5 in this one, but I mean, you could spend $1 very easily too if you like Andy Dalton. But I think $5 gets you Kirk Cousins, maybe Cam Newton. I've had him for less than $5 in a couple drafts. Phillip Rivers, guys that should put up some fairly decent fantasy points. Maybe Tyrod Taylor's your guy, depending on scoring and things like that. So definitely all those guys are in play. We'll jump to running back. Because RB1, RB2, I try to spend about $15 a piece. And again, it's about looking at where you're comfortable. If you look at $15 and you think, I don't like any of those guys, and you need to spend a little more, then go ahead. Maybe you want to spend less. That's okay. But I think this budget builds that in. So for $15, and I'm just going to list off a bunch of running backs, and I'm assuming this is PPR league. Anybody in that range, you're looking at Frank Gore, Dalvin Cook, Bilal Powell, Tevin Coleman, Danny Woodhead, Amir Abdullah, CJ Anderson, Eddie Lacy. According to current AAV, all those guys are in play at $15. Want to go a little bit higher, you're looking at Carlos Hyde, Ty Montgomery. And I'll be honest, I look at that list and I feel like if you could let me pick four or five guys off that list, I would feel really good about that. Danny Woodhead, obviously PPR's got some steam. I like Ty Montgomery a lot this year. I think he's RB1 material. I think Carlos Hyde is underrated. I don't necessarily think he's going to become an RB1, but I think if you play him in the right matchup, which is probably what you're going to do with RB0, he can definitely be put up some pretty big games for you. I'm anxious to see Dalvin Cook. I'm coming around there. I like him. I think Tevin Coleman's very serviceable, Bilal Powell, and especially if somebody gets injured. But I think even if they have a lot of standalone value, Powell obviously more so than Coleman because Powell looks to be kind of the RB1 type guy there. So there's a lot of things to like about doing that. And then, you know, that gives you a $20 to spend on a flex, which if you're in a PPR league, you might want to go get Keenan Allen or Michael Crabtree, Jarvis Landry. Very good wide receiver threes, in my opinion. And that still leaves you $15 for a tight end and $30 for a bench, which might seem like a lot. And that's where you get the flexibility. You could bump that up. Maybe you want to spend $25 on a running back and not $15. You can do that. But I think it allows you $30 per bench can get you guys like Theo Riddick, Mark Ingram, Tyrell Williams, Darren Sproles. Like, you can get a really solid bench for that. Now, it's pretty balanced. Some people don't like that. But I think, you know, it's a safe budget in terms of giving you flexibility to change on the fly. I don't know what you think, Lister. What's your 2 cents on something like that?
Yeah, it is a pretty safe budget. I mean, I think when I look at this, I get a little nervous if I'm thinking that I'm starting my RB1 with the names you mentioned, Gore, Cook, Powell, Coleman, and Woodhead. Look, don't get me wrong. I do like Woodhead and Coleman and Cook. I really hope Cook becomes a big-time player because I drafted him in a couple leagues, and I really want him to produce. So I'm a little nervous about that. So you know, but I could live with that. But I think what I would do with this if I was drafting is I'd love my wide receiver one options at $60, Antonio, Julio, and Odell. But down at wide receiver two, I'm spending $40. I think I'd be rather more comfortable if I took 10 out of my flex and 10 off my bench and made that my wide receiver two also $60. So now I got Antonio Brown and Julio. Now all of a sudden I'm thinking, you know what, I'm pretty solid at, yeah, I'm a little more solid at receiver. So I'm not worried about my running backs as bad now anymore. I think out of all those guys you mentioned, I can find two guys out of that big list every week that have a juicy matchup that a defense is getting run over, and I'll be okay. So that's how I tweak that. But I mean, this is a good idea. That's what you do, though, right? This is what you do. You set up a number like that, and you go, I think I'd feel better about this team by doing this, and then you do that, and you got to be on the ball.
No, and you know what? That's a very good point. And I think, again, you look at that list, especially if you feel comfortable. Like, for example, Danny Woodhead, I look at him and I think there is a decent chance. I don't want to put a percentage on it, but it's definitely within the range of outcomes that he is RB1 in PPR. Do I think he'll be RB1? No. But could he finish as RB6 or RB8? Definitely RB12. Yeah, I think he could, actually. I like Ty Montgomery. Could maybe finish as, you know, an RB8 or 10. There's the potential there. So if you feel good about those guys doing that, and, you know, you get both of them earlier in a draft, then I totally agree, man. Like, you could have two RB1s for very cheap anyway. Like you said, if you just take a bunch of cheap guys now as, you know, three or four, and you use them all as some type of streaming system, and then you just load up on receivers. Come week six, week eight, when those two running backs or some of those running backs are producing well, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be scared to play that type of team. If you just got two fantasy RB1s or very close for very little, and just think if you hit on those elite wide receivers, you could be knocking the shit out of everybody in your league with something like that. But it comes down to you got to make the right picks, right? But there's definitely a potential maybe for that. So, so there's that one. I kind of talked about another one. It's not necessarily one that I am a fan of. I typically don't like loading up on players from one team. But I do see that there's a chance for that. Or I shouldn't say a chance, there is some potential benefit to that, especially if it comes from the right offense. I don't know why I said white. It's because I'm going to talk about Green Bay or what. Like, you want to load up. If you're going to do something like this, and I use Green Bay, because to me they're the easiest team to do it. Obviously, you need an elite quarterback. You're not going to load up on the 49ers or something like that. That's just stupid, right? Yeah, exactly. Load up on nobody. Nobody would do that. But so I used Green Bay. So I said, okay, Aaron Rodgers, here's $35. That was kind of the easiest one. So then after that, it was I put Ty Montgomery in here as a RB2 for $20. I put Jordy Nelson as the wide receiver one for $50. Devontae Adams for wide receiver two at $25. And Martellus Bennett at $5 for tight end. Now, I'm not saying you should go and get every piece of an offense if you do that. This was kind of just for the sake of this strategy. Like, maybe you want Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, and Bennett. Okay, I could live with that. I mean, to me, I like having players attached to elite quarterbacks. So maybe you want Drew Brees and Mike Thomas, or maybe you want Drew Brees and you feel good about Willie Snead or, you know, Mark Ingram if he's your guy, or maybe you're high in Kamara. Doesn't matter. Maybe it's Brady and Brandon Cooks or Edelman or Gronk, whatever. I use Green Bay as well because I feel like they're the most cut and dry. New England, we don't know who's going to be consistent. We know there's a lot of weapons there, guys with potential. We just don't know if it's going to necessarily be consistently week to week who's going to be doing it. And in New Orleans, it's kind of Michael Thomas and then some Willie Snead, and then we don't know much about the backfield per se. It's kind of pick your poison a little bit. Tight end's a bit of a crapshoot. I don't think anyone feels great about Colby Fleener. Green Bay was using the example, and it still allowed you to get a $45 running back as an RB1, which are guys like Devontae Freeman, DeMarco Murray, Leonard Fournette. $10 bench, fairly cheap. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And then $10 for a flex, which again, we talked about guys like Riddick, Perkins, Meredith, Djax, Benjamin. Not terrible flexes, in my opinion. You could probably find a guy with some decent upside. Blister, thoughts on a strategy like this?
Well, I could. It's interesting. There's a lot of good players. Like you said, it's from a great offense. So you really have to, you know, you got a lot of buys on the same week. Of course, that's not a big deal. It's 1 week. But, you know, there's a lot of good players. That's just a good example of how you can tweak your lineup and what you can do with it. You know, I think after Aaron Rodgers, the next guy most expensive, what I've seen is Tom Brady. And it'd be harder to do with that offense. Like, they're going to be should be a great offense. But you know Tom, you know Gronk. But, you know, they got so many different running backs that could touch the ball on any given week. And they do have a lot of receivers that they can spread the ball around with now, too. So it's going to be kind of hard to nail down that wide receiver one there at times. It could be Edelman. It could be Cooks. It could be, you know, so many different guys. So this is probably the best example of, you know, one team that you could really stack up on. If I could, I'd love to have Rodgers, and I'd actually like Ty, and I'd like Davante Adams. I would be the three out of them guys if I only had three of them. But
that's funny. I was kind of thinking the same thing when I made that up. I mean, I'm not against Jordy. Yeah. I do like him.
Yeah.
I don't mind Martellus Bennett, but I mean, the one good thing is, you know, hey, like every touchdown that offense scores, there's a very good chance you're getting points for that and potentially double dipping, right? You're getting, like if Rodgers throws a TD, you're probably going to be the recipient of that. You'll be pissed if it's Randall Cobb, I guess, but it's definitely, I'll say this, it's a strategy I've never really wanted to implement. I mean, we have a couple guys in our drafts that, and everybody probably does. They like certain players from a certain team. They're fans of a team, so they might innately load up on a team just because they like it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, at the end of the day, it's a game. Get the guys you want to get, but you know, you want to make sure you're doing it a smart way as well, if you can.
I could throw it one more. I was looking at a mock I did the other night. It was kind of ended up being an example of a balanced budget, and I could reiterate that it won't be in our on our website. So I ended up. This is the one where I went in intending to spend $70 on David Johnson to see what my team would look like, but I also thought, you know, I'm going to spend on a top tight end and a top quarterback, just something totally unlike me. So I ended up spending $30 on Brady. That was my quarterback. When you spend a lot of money on a quarterback, don't draft a backup. Just grab one off the waiver wire for your bye week, because you're not ever starting him. It's a waste of money. It's a waste of a bench spot.
You're going to drop him the first injury you get anyway, right? Or something like that.
Yeah. So Travis Kelce ended up having to spend $36 on. I couldn't believe I had to go that high. My best or my most expensive receiver anyways was Demaryius Thomas at $31. Then I followed up with Sammy Watkins at $29. And both those prices I could live with. Martavis Bryant was my wide receiver three at $22. I thought that was getting a little high.
Well, especially after today, right, where he's not necessarily reinstated, so that's going to scare everybody off. But.
Yeah. My RB1 was Ty Montgomery at $28. So, you know, I've been pretty impressed with a lot of the mocks I've been in lately. Most of the guys are staying there until they're, you know, they've gotten, you know, the majority of their money spent at least, so that was good. In the end, I got Willie Snead for $5, so I was quite happy with. Most of the people were still there, and then guys kind of lost interest or went away. So basically, it was balanced in a $30 range between my quarterback, my tight end, my RB1, and then my wide receiver 1, 2, and 3. So my top six guys were in that $30 range roughly, and then filled the bench. Well, we had to draft a defense and stuff. I got Kansas City for $1. Tyrell Williams was $2. Garcon $2. Crosby, my kicker, was $1. So my running back two at this point is Amir Abdullah, who only cost me $1, but I don't think that's realistic. I also drafted Samaje Perine, Doug Martin, and for $1 as well. So, and there is a few other guys at this point when it was down to the $1 guys. That's all that anybody had left to spend. So, you know, there's a lot of guys on there, but everyone blew all their money on big names before that. So, you know, that's not a bad lineup. You got to think Tom Brady's going to be a top probably three quarterback. Kelce should be a top three tight end. And then after that, you got a little bit of a gamble with Demaryius and the receivers. But, you know, they're all pretty good receivers, and they all have potential to produce big weeks. Yep. So I wouldn't be too upset with that team, actually.
Well, I was going to say, and this, to me, I bet you, is maybe the second most common type of budget that we probably see, right? Like, mm-hmm. very common is to some guy to spend a shit pile of money on three big names. And then they just go, you don't hear from them for 3 hours in the draft because they can't afford to buy anybody. And then they just load up on cheap guys at the end. This, to me, is the next best, because after those big name guys, I shouldn't say best, next most common. Because a lot of people look at their roster and they think, man, I just got to fill out all the starters. And I want to fill out as many as I can with quality pieces. And so then they go, with, like, I'll buy Brady, I will buy Kelsey, there's my QB at tight end, done, sweet. Now I can focus on receiver. Oh, Demaryius is pretty good, Watkins is pretty good, Martavis Bryant, okay, I got three good receivers now, you know. And they start checking it off like that, and which there's nothing wrong with. I mean, you need to have a solid starting lineup to win. So I think this is the most, maybe even the most common, I don't know. But yeah. It's right up there. But you can see when you look at this, it's easier for us probably because we have it in front of us. Blister took the time to type this out on our script as we were doing this. What it does kind of after about the first five or six players when you spend on a quarterback or a tight end, though, right? Now all of a sudden you drop from $22 all the way to $5. And hey, if you hit on those $5 guys, not a big deal. But I mean, if you don't feel confident about that, then there's a big gap there. It's a big gap probably for you to ever draft guys in the draft. It's a big gap in potential talent. So, again, it's not terrible. I agree. The team is – it's in the solid. I mean, and at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what team you draft. Blister said it. You got to be on waivers. I don't care if your team is stacked from the get-go. The team that's going to win is probably – going to be active on waivers and make a couple good moves throughout the year. So
absolutely,
it doesn't really matter, right? So, you know, if you gave me this team out of the draft and I hit waivers hard, I feel like maybe I could probably win with that. So
yeah, you probably could, yeah. And that's the key, that, like you said, the waivers. Now, I just jotted down a couple quick things comparing, you know, when you compare a balanced team like the one I showed you and the studs and duds team, the two things that they had in common were the bench was still pretty cheap, right? Like you could go balanced with, so basically if you're looking at a real studs and duds team, you might spend, you might spend $60 on three different players, you know, so you've got $180, then you got $20 to spend on the rest of your entire team. You might go with the balanced I had. I have six guys at around the $30 range averaging. Okay, and so that gives me maybe a little bit more depth. And then you could also balance it. You know, you could have $9, $20 guys if you wanted, or $12, $15 guys. I'll get you in that same spot. But at the end of the day, you got to, what are you most comfortable with? Do you want to have money and players tied up sitting on your bench, or do you want to have that invested in your starting lineup, or do you want to have that depth in case somebody goes down? I mean, last year I could have used more depth because my guys were, I got so many injuries last year, and it just killed me in most of my leagues. So it's just how you, I guess, and that's how I quickly changed, though. I went into an auction thinking I'm going to spend $70 on David Johnson, and the next thing you know, I'm spending, instead I reallocated that money to a top quarterback and a top tight end just to see what it would look like.
Yep. And I think you have to do that. I agree. I mean, it's why, like I said, I always have a budget where I have money allocated for spending. Maybe not $30 at a quarterback, but like, for example, last year I ended up buying Russell Wilson in our draft for $14. I vividly remember it because I was kind of pissed. I didn't really plan on doing that. I had a budget for that, so I wasn't totally thrown off, but it was never my intention to do that. I just thought, holy shit, Russell Wilson for $14, this is too cheap. I got a bid and I ended up getting it. So I wasn't sad, but I was a little bit, oh, okay, I better go to this other spreadsheet now, because that's completely out the window. But I think you know, it allows you some of that flexibility to hopefully do some things. And I think one thing too I like doing with the bench, that I try and always at least get two players for at least more than $5. ideally I want to have two fairly reliable bench guys, and then I don't really care after that. I'll spend a buck on everybody else because I know they're expendable, and you know, as bye weeks are going, I can drop them, and I really don't care what happens to them half the time because a lot of them are going to be crap anyways, and I'll never end up using them. So, all right, I wanted to get you out of here on one thing, and I can't remember exactly now what it is. All right, this is it anyways. So for the listeners there, Blister, just recap or give a couple things, like what should everybody be doing or looking to do right now?
They should be mocking, and they should have a budget and plan it. Like, one of the biggest things you never want to end up at is with, you know, it's sometimes it's impossible to spend every dollar, but you definitely, I was in a mock the other night, and I said to this guy, Larry, what are you doing, Larry? What's happening? I wasn't paying very good attention. He ended up with $75 at the end of the draft. So can you imagine the players he could have bought with $75 or unbelievable players? So you want to make sure that you try to spend all your money. You're not keeping it. You're not getting to roll it into fab. You better spend it all. So keep on top of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I was in our mock draft on Monday, and I apologize. I did on the air for our pod. And I actually plan on buying David Johnson. And he went for, I think it was like $77 or $75. So that was out the window because – I am kind of anal about not overspending early in a draft. I can't do it. I don't know. I'm too cheap. Maybe it's the Ukrainian or the Irish in me. I don't know. I just can't overspend early in a draft. So I didn't. And then we got busy setting up the pod and talking to Kevin beforehand and things like that. And all of a sudden I had $100 left. Everybody else had about 20. There was no way I could even spend as much. And I felt a little bit shitty for the guys in the draft because, I should have been buying players. I would have been buying players as we went along. And then all of a sudden I had all this money left at the end. And I think I bought a couple more players. And I'll be honest, we got halfway into our pod with Kevin O'Brien. And I just kind of – I told the guys, I was like, hey, man, I'm podding and I've messed up so bad already anyway, so I'm just going to peace out and concentrate on this podcast. So then that just filled my team with a bunch of guys. I think I had $60 left over, which is ridiculous. I mean, yeah. if please don't let that ever happen to you. I mean, if you're in a live draft, it never would. But so there's an example of, you know, don't, you know, leave money on the table. But obviously that's the crazy end of that.
It's a bad feeling when you have money at the end and you know that there's nobody that you can spend it on because there's nobody out there that's going to be that expensive. Like you're going to go $4 and the guy's sold because nobody else can afford it or no, you know, the guys aren't even worth it. You could have spent $20 on the player, but he's only worth $4. And so,
I was going to say, that's what I hate, the feeling of overpaying at the end of drafts, and it's only because you're doing it because you have the funds to do it, like buying somebody who normally goes for $2 for six because, well, fuck it, I got $40 left, I can do it, I can afford that. I would have said, like, that just drives me nuts because I'm like, oh, I could have bought so many better players or one or two better players somewhere else along the line somewhere instead of now these scrubs that I'm overpaying for now. I should have overpaid before instead of sitting on my wallet. But
The worst part is, you know, say you're bidding on Julio Jones and, you know, it goes to 54 and you saw that you would spend 55 and then it goes to 55 and then you bow out at 55 and it goes for $58. And then down the road, you know, all of a sudden you have this money and you have $10, $12, $15 left over and you look at your wide receiver one. And you say, well, if I would have put that money with the money I didn't spend, I have left over, I could have had Julio and, you know, and something else. So you're like, then you're kicking yourself. So I would always say, go be willing to go a little bit over on the guys that you really want, the guys that are going to be your starters. Don't stop if it's at 55. If you want him, you look down the list thinking, well, you know, there's only one guy left in this tier. Because we did an article a long time ago called the Auction Horseshoe. And if you have about, you know, say you have six or seven receivers in your top tier. You know, the first guy off the board and the second guy tend to be pretty expensive, and then it kind of goes down a little bit because the people, oh, there's still four or five guys left, I'll get this guy. But when it gets to the last guy or two in the tier, then it gets really expensive. So you kind of hope to get your guy that you want nominated in the middle of that tier when guys are saying, ah, they didn't want to spend on the first guys, and then they know there's lots of guys left, and then before they start panicking. So that's another thing too. It's just, you want to, don't hesitate to spend money when it's somebody you want.
No, I totally agree. I mean, there's nothing worse than when you're at the end or getting near the end and you know you got a lot of money left, and you're looking at the draft board that's up and you're thinking, fuck, I could have easily gone $2 more on that guy to get him and him and him and him, and now I'm buying Kendall fucking right off the Bears or something. I don't know. But like, you're just like, my God. Yeah, like, we've all done it in some capacity. So, I mean, it happens, but try not to, obviously. All right. Anything else?
No, I don't think so. I mean, hopefully we'll continue. People can ask us questions. And like we said, you know, the articles that are going to go up, I got a couple ready to go, and you have that one. And Bex is probably home now. Once he gets those on there, then I think they're great reads. So people should go in there, and I mean, they'll give you a good idea. But, you know, that's what we're here for, is to help you through and answer questions. So fire away.
Yeah, man. So www.thefantasyfootballauction.com. Check it out. We've got up-to-date auction values on there. I think that they are, in my opinion, they're the most accurate in the business. I'm not going to lie. I really believe that. I mean, maybe it's because I have a hand, and just like Blister does, in deriving them. But we put a lot of time into trying to make them as accurate as possible. So I really take pride in having accurate rankings, and I think we do. Like Blister said, he's got a couple articles ready to drop on the site for members. You know, $14.95, you can go buy a draft kit with all these articles, access to all of the auction values. You know, it's got it all. Feel free to email us. We have been getting quite a few emails lately, which is good. Don't mind. A lot of keeper questions. Holy crap. Lots of those, which is cool. That's good. It's good to have people playing different formats. You can hit us up on Twitter, find Blister at Mr. Blister. You can find me at Slimper MVP. You can find all of us at on Twitter at Fantasy Auction. We're trying to run some Twitter polls and things like that every day, just to try and get people thinking auction, thinking about players that they might like at certain values, things like that. Also, the next installment of Mock Draft Monday is going to be ready. Look for invites coming out on Twitter. I can tell you this. I have a feeling that as it drops, based on people that have already tweeted us from last week, of people that missed out or even that were in it, there is probably only going to be a very limited number of spots. It's going to be a super flex draft, just to mix things up and give people a little different feel. I know some people have asked for 16 team and 14 team. Sorry, guys. We're going to only stick to 12. Just because that is by far the most common league size. But we'll try and change it up for various other little formats if we can. So next week, Superflex, look for that to come out on Twitter very shortly, probably as soon as Saturday morning, which by the time you're listening to this, it probably already will be Saturday. So you check it out and try and get in there. It's first come, first serve. So follow us at Fantasy Auction if you want to get in on that. All right, that about does it. So for Mr. Blister, I'm Slim for MVP. Uncle Buckets is going to be back next week, so that's awesome. Hopefully we didn't lose too many followers, Blister, for me doing this.
No, you did an awesome job,
not
man.
Doing any editing. So yeah, to in honor of Bex coming back from Japan, we'll sign off in his little tagline. We'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.